You can have it. Sir, appreciate it.
How long have you been preaching?
10 years.
10 years?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's a long time, ain't it?
Well, I guess to some.
Yeah, it is a long. At least you didn't start, stop. Amen.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
I'm Dakota Brogan. Those of y'all that don't know me, I'm out of my pastor's brother Randy, and mentor, my hero, and I appreciate him. He drove me down here, I told him, you made me feel like somebody when I know I'm not anybody, and I appreciate that, though, and he came down here with me. It means a lot to me, and Brother Allen was my pastor there for the first 6 years I was at Concord, and Brother Simpson, it's good to see you. He always came and preached there, and preached, man, some good messages, dealt with a lot of sin in my life there, just as a young man there, being at Concord, and I appreciate that. He preached one time at the church on begging for the body. I can tell you that was a great message, Brother Simpson. So I'm going to do my best to preach to you and to be a help this afternoon. Judges in chapter number 16. Judges in chapter number 16. And up until Saturday, I'd never preached a message on Samson. I preached Saturday there at Concord, and I believe that's where the Lord will have us today, and it'll be a help. Judges in chapter number 16 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all of his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other men. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all of his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks off his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out, as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Lord, thank you for the day. Lord, thank you for being so good to us, Lord, so kind. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for good traveling mercies. Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving us, Lord, and just giving me a good family, putting me in a good church. Lord, thank you, Lord, God, for my pastor coming down here today with me, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. You've been good to me. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this afternoon. Lord, I know, Lord, I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. Lord, I sure do need your help this afternoon. I sure do need your touch. I pray, Lord God, that you please, Lord, just be a help to somebody here. It's an honor, Lord God, to be here and to be able to preach this afternoon. Have mercy on us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but even at 34 years old, I never get tired of hearing the story about Samson. I never cease to be amazed to hear again how Samson killed a lion with his bare hands. Amen. If you got any man in you at all, that'll get you fired up right there. Amen. Not only killing a lion with his bare hands, but I'm completely astonished that a man could rip off the city gates. The Bible says the post, the bar, and all. Amen. He ripped the whole entire outfit off and he toted him to the top of the mountain. Today, that probably wouldn't be a huge deal. But back then, I mean, hey, today you could get a skid steer or a lawn machine and you could get them back down. But back then, they either had to convince Samson to bring them back or they had to build some other ones. Amen. But what an amazing story. I still get amazed that a man could take a donkey's jawbone and kill 1,000 Philistines. I thought about this. Can you imagine being there and being the last one? Trying to get away, and Samson takes that thing and uses it like a boomerang, amen, and he cuts his head off. I like what Brother Epp said. He said, that's my kind of guy right there, amen. Hey, maybe one of the most astonishing stories, though, in all the Bible that just completely blows my mind is how in the world did Samson catch 300 foxes, amen. I come from a background. My daddy, he always had us out trapping when I was a little kid. We'd set long trap lines, and we'd go check back on my... I'm telling you something that's very difficult and that is sly as a fox. I've thought several times, if you gave me a year's worth of time and you said, get me 300 foxes, there's no way. There's no way I could do that. How in the world did Samson do that? Not only catch 300 foxes, but how in the world did he get them to sit still that long and tie their tails together, put a torch between them? I tell you how he did it, amen. He had to touch of God, amen. Hey, the life of Samson and what God used him to do is astonishing, to say the least, amen. At one time, I believe it'd be safe to say that Samson had the touch of God on his life, amen. There's no way anyone could accomplish what he did without a touch from heaven, amen. In my opinion, one of the most exciting, extraordinary, but one of the most devastating stories in all the Bible. In the matter of minutes, Samson goes from being a spiritual hero to losing the touch that God has placed on his life, amen. For just a few minutes this afternoon, I want to preach on the tragedy in losing the touch, amen. The tragedy in losing the touch. Oh, how our families, how our lives, and how our ministries must have the touch of God on them, amen. Hey, listen, if you're going to get some help this afternoon, if you're going to get help in this church, if you're going to get help in this meeting, it must have God's touch on it, amen. Hey, at one time, Samson relied on God, and he understood it had nothing to do with him. Hey, listen, we're in a good place. And when we realize it don't have anything to do with us, amen. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's all about him, amen. And it's about a touch from heaven, amen. I told my brother the other day, I understand that there's singers that can carry a tune. There's singers that can perform. Hey, but listen, give me somebody that's got the touch of God on their life, amen. Hey, that God, amen, has sanctioned and touched their hearts, amen. That's got the touch on it, amen. And people will get help, amen. People will get help. Hey, listen, you get up and you try to preach and you don't have any touch on it. You try to sing and perform. I think nobody's going to get help from that. But listen, if you'll just put yourself out there to God and say, Lord, use me. God, touch me. Then somebody, people will get help, amen. Hey, I can't help but think back. I told this the other day, but I think back to the first times that I began to just submit myself to God. Hey, listen, the touch of God on your life this afternoon, it's not just for teachers. It's not just for preachers, amen. It's for everybody. Hey, mama, you can have the touch of God on your life, amen. Daddy, you can have the touch of God on your life. Hey, we need a touch from heaven, amen. I remember I began to reflect back on the times where I began to submit myself to the Lord. I began to submit my family to the Lord and watch God begin to touch my life and begin to watch there's safety in His touch, amen. There's safety, there's security, amen, in His touch. I look back and I see the times that God has helped my family and God has touched my family and God has blessed my family and God has worked my wife's heart. I remember I think back, I was on the job one time and I'll be honest with you, I really, God began to tell me about homeschooling our children for the Simpson. And I knew for sure, I said, will of God, that we homeschool our children. If I be honest, my wife wouldn't want to do it. My wife was on heaven kind. We'd only been a convert for a couple of years. We'd only been in this way for just a few months. But it just took some. It took some. It took progress, amen. And I knew it's not a. I mean, Noah's getting all up for you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Noah's getting all up with eight. I remember I was working that morning. I talked to anybody in my wife about it. I began to pray. I began to ask the Lord to do something. I think I'd ask the pastor to pray. I was at the job that morning. And I was actually driving a tractor around my daddy's farm. And my wife texted me. She said the Lord woke her up in the middle of the night. The Holy Ghost was dealing with her. My wife, you know my wife, she said that much. Amen. She said that God began to deal with her heart. She said, we've got to homeschool our children. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying you need God touching your home, amen. You need God working in your family. Said, what you say, preacher? I can't homeschool my children. I this ain't all I know. Preacher, I can't homeschool my children. I don't have the knowledge or I just don't think I can do it. If you can't do it on your own, amen. Hey, listen, my wife could do it on her own. Which I just don't have the education that it takes. Hey, listen, you can do it with God's tongue. Begin to pray and seek the Lord, amen. Put him, get his touch on it, amen.
Hey, listen, if you got, if you get God's touch on it, folks think they right away, Bob Jones did a bunch of shit there. Bob Jones said, my children do the Bob Jones street deal there. My wife had to work with each other. Hey, let's give it. Hey, don't throw it. That's all. And there were days here in San Francisco, we woke up, we walked in Gatford because he had the touch of God. Have you ever had the touch of God? Maybe you got out of the will of God, or maybe sin became in your life, but and you know it's like, you know the difference, you know, and get ready for your day, and you can't say it's a hard day, the pain had a sin to overcome, but you know that it's so. Hey, listen, you got God's tongue in your life, but you know God's going to help you. Hey, you know you can walk in this stuff. There's nothing like it. There's a tongue. Can I say outside of being saved this afternoon, you're in desperate need of having a beautiful front. I mean, my brother told me today, I said, I don't want to live one day. God's touch our life, amen. Hey, this we need God's touch in every aspect of our lives. Hey, one of my dear friends, he said the other day, we were out talking, we were on a job. He said, Dakota, he said, what y'all have at Concord? He said, it's rare. He said, it's special. It is. And I just began to weep and cry right there. I thought of the man and the people that would, if they could just come, if they'd come one time, and they'd realize it is rare and it is special. And as much as I love our pastor, I love him with the deepest recess in my soul, but he'd be the first to tell you it's not because of Brother Randy Sutherland, and it's not because of the 58 years of faithfulness of Brother Allen, and it's because of the years and the faithfulness of God Almighty, amen. And God moved in, and he brings in the services, and it's got God's touch on it, amen. There's no substitute for the touch of God. Oh, how I don't want to come in the doors. Can you imagine coming in into a service on Sunday morning and not having God's touch on it, friend? Hey, I don't want to go to church like that, do you? No way, friend. And hey, what we have, you got a church. You go to an independent funding of work, and your pastor gets up every Sunday morning. It don't matter if there's 10 people there, or at least if there's 200 or 500. Maybe your pastor mounts up for a bit, and he's got the touch of God on his preaching, and it deals with your heart, and it works in your life. You ought to thank God a million times for it, friend. Hey, that it's still got the touch. There's no substitute for that. And not come to the step of Joshua Magistrates. Hey, a lot of times, any times a lot older, and said, I would like to get here this afternoon. Hey, but you come up on Wednesday night, and it's been a hard day of work. Or, hey, if you just had a tough day, and just make it up the steps. And I know sometimes, I come in and just throw myself down in the pew. I set the pew like most of y'all do, 300 and some days a year, amen. Or 52 weeks out of the year. I don't preach out much. I'm in Concord. That's where I want to be at. Hey, but I come in, I just throw myself in the pew. Hey, but God's man gets up and preaches. Or a singer gets up and sings with a touch of God. And it warms my heart. And it deals my heart. There is no substitute for him. There's no substitute for it. We must have God's touch. Hey, listen, if you're singing and you're ministering to your church, you must have the touch of God on it, amen. Amen. But what a tragedy it would be. Well, seriously, what a tragedy it would be to go back to your churches on Sunday morning, come in the back door of your church, and the touch of God be gone, amen. There are young families in our church, probably, I'm sure, in this church and this meeting as well. You've got the touch of God on your life. God's used many of you to sing and minister to your church with his touch. But how tragic would it be to get out into the world like Samson and God's touch be withdrawn from your life, amen? How tragic would that be? We take it for granted lots of times. You bring your family in on Wednesday nights. You bring your family in on Sunday mornings.
We don't realize. Sometimes we just don't. It was good when my friend Roger told me that. He said, Dakota, you don't understand how rare, how special it is what y'all have going on there. Hey, it's special what's going on in this building today. Hey, it's special what's going on at your church, amen. It's special what's going on in the pulpits and in the hearts, amen. Hey, listen, do you realize what's the spiritual battle that's going on? Hey, just to be able to bring your family in. Hey, in the preaching, sometimes it may be preventative. Sometimes it's dealing with things that you don't even realize. Sometimes we think the preaching, always harping on this or that. Hey, he's trying to keep our families out of jail and out of hell, amen. He's preaching with God's touch on it, amen. There's no substitute for it. There's no substitute for it, friend. Hey, they get bigger. They may have bigger crowds down the road somewhere. They may have the parking lot full. Hey, they may have 10,000, amen. They can have the numbers. There's no substitute for his touch, amen. There's no substitute for it. First thing I want to look at is Samson's hair. Look at his hair. We understand what the Bible says today about a man having long hair, amen. I'm not going to labor that, but the book of Corinthians is plain. It's a shame unto a man to have long hair. But Samson had been set apart by God to take the Nazarite vow. Samson's hair showed the world that he was a Nazarite and he was to live a life pleasing to God and touched by the hand of God, amen. Can I say amen to the young people? God's put you in a place where the world can look at you and look at your life and see that there's a difference with the crowd that's got God's touch on it, amen. Hey, Samson's hair showed the world he was a Nazarite, amen, and that he had the touch of God on his life. The same principles apply to you and I today. There ought to be some evident things in our lives that set us apart where the world can look at us and say that's a crowd that's living for him, amen. I understand we've had people that left our church over the years. I'm sure y'all have too. And it's those families that come into my mind. Hey, no doubt they come into my pastor's mind. Hey, they left our church for one reason or the other. They say that it's hard. They say that it's too tough. Amen. Hey, listen, whatever the reason to be, but they leave our church. Hey, one of the first things they'll do when you see them in the next few weeks, they'll have a pair of pants on. You say, preacher, that's not a big deal. Hey, listen, your preacher just harping on those things. Hey, but listen, when the chips is down, hey, when hard times come your way. Hey, listen, I'm talking about when the waters begin to rise and hard times come in your family. I tell you what, you'll realize. You'll wake up. You say it's not a big deal. Hey, my pastor's just harping on that all the time. What does it matter about this skirt? I tell you, when hard times come, hey, you'll wake up and realize that his touch is gone.
Amen.
Are you listening? You'll realize that his touch is gone. Amen. It's a big deal. I think about families, again, that's left our church over and over and again. See their children with... I seen some of them the other day down at the ball field. They had shorts on. The girls had shorts on. Right now, it looks like everything's fine. Looks like everything's going to be okay. One of these days, they're going to realize the touch is gone. Amen. Are you listening? Hey, I'm not saying you got touch on your God in your life because you've got a skirt on, amen. But I'm saying this, there ought to be some evident things, amen. Hey, listen, that people can look at your life and they can say, you know what, there's something different about that crowd. Hey, something different about those folks, amen. Hey, they've got the touch of God on their life, amen. Hey, they want to live for the Lord, amen. Hey, don't you want, why in the world, hey, listen, would you sell out, hey, the touch of God over fabric, amen. Why in the world would you do that? Why would you trade it? Hey, listen, just put the skirt on, get in, amen. Hey, sorry, man, take your shorts off. I don't know, amen. Hey, whatever it is, hey, why don't you just do whatever it takes to get God's touch on your life, amen. Get his touch on your life. Hey, it might get hard. It might get hard. Hey, the Christian life is going to get hard sometimes, amen. It's going to get tough. Hey, but you'll make it if you've got God's touch on your life, amen. Listen, young people. Hey, listen, we want you to live right. Everybody wants you to dress right. Because you love him and because we want God's touch on your life. I've heard everything back home. I've heard everything. I'm sure this community and your community as well. I've heard everything our communities have said. Hey, listen, about it. And some families have said what they've had to say about the way we live, the way we dress and raise our families. Hey, can I say this? It is worth it all. Hey, have God's touch on your life. Amen. I think back when I first came to Concord, my daddy said, and he didn't, my daddy meant well. He was just trying to watch after me. You just have to know it. Some of my family, they said, well, you know what they're going to do out there? They're going to try to,
they going to try to put a skirt on to get on the dress on your girl. I said, "Praise God, they ain't going to try to put them on the boy." They think, "How am I doing about it?" Huh? They say, "Well, they're going to try to put a dress on the girls." Or, like, you know, they patch fake out there. They're going to make you married. I'm married, so I got to worry about that. They say, "Well, they're going to turn you upside down and save money." I said, "I ain't got nothing to take out." They look out for everything they've had to say. They said this and that, and my daddy and all of them, mama and grandparents, all of them. They say, "Well, you're going to go to a court out there. Hey, those folks are going to tell you how to live." Good. I needed somebody to tell me how to live, amen. I lived my way a long time. I've seen a lot my way to do, amen. I needed some preaching in my life. I needed somebody to tell me what to do, amen. Hey, but you know what? They began to sing it up. Hey, if you'll hang in there, amen. I ain't got a clue who's here this afternoon. I guess your mamas are saying things. Your daddies are saying things. Maybe your grandparents, your cousins, aunts, uncles, whoever it is. And they're saying different things. But if you'll just hang on in there, I tell you what, they'll see you. Hey, when hard times come, hey, they'll see God's hand touch your life, and they'll see you shouting the victory, amen. They'll see God moving and working in your family, amen. I came to Concord. My daddy said, he said, "Son," he said, "You're in a good place." He said, "But I won't ever be able to be there." You know where my daddy's at on Sunday morning now, Brother Simpson? He's at Concord. He's at Concord Baptist Church. You know what my daddy's seen over the years? It wasn't me. It wasn't me that he's seen Brother Simpson, but he's seen God. He's seen God's touch in his hand. Time again. He's seen God's work in you. I look back at the things that God did when we get to move it. In my wife's life, amen. And the children, God began in my family, seen God ministering. And my family seen God just working. What are you saying? I'm saying there's a difference. And you got God's touch on your life. Hey, there's God to work again. Amen. God's hand and touch. Don't you want his hand on your life? I think about the times on the job. I'm going to tell this story. Just I didn't have time today, but I'm going to tell it and we're going to move on. That's a big old roofing job. Went and looked at one time. I took preacher up there with me. I was scared to death. It was really high. I do construction work. And anyway, it's just an extremely big. It was 40 foot something to the eave, to the bottom of the roof. And I was nervous, but we were just really, it was during COVID. I needed the job. And I just needed the work. And I needed a lot of the families in the church work with me, some of the young guys. And I took preacher up there and it was raining. It was raining that day, and I remember I drove preacher around to the side. And I said, "Preacher, there's that roof." I said, "What do you think?" He said, "Well," he said, "you need to do it." He said, "Go ahead and get the job." I had the job. I was scared of it. And he said, "You need to go ahead and do it." And so here's what I did. I was relying on the Lord. I knew God had begun to work in my life. And I was just trusting the preacher. Amen. Hey, listen, I went up there that next week, Brother Simpson. We began to work on that roof. And I had a gentleman helping me. And he had these skylights in it. Good night. Had these big old skylights in it that you couldn't see. They were clear, but it was so dirty. You couldn't hardly see them no more. But we had made sure. I remember 40 foot, y'all. I mean, 40 foot. I ain't exaggerating. Two ladders to get up there. I had to get up on this ladder and get up way up. Well, we said, "Look, y'all, you can't step on them skylights. They're like paper. You step on them, you're gone. It'll be just over with." First thing that morning, man takes off that metal, runs, hits that skylight, boom, straight through the roof. I thought for sure. I says, "Killed him. Dead as a hammer. He's killed him." Hey, the mercy of God. I'm going to take time to tell about the mercy of God real quick. They wouldn't, but you're talking, this is a train wash station. Why in the world they had a roll of coil metal in there? I'll never know for all my life. A roll of coil metal, like a metal that you put on fascia boards or something. Odd to be in there flashing. That roll of flashing was up on one of the only racks that was in that hole. That was on that whole train wash station there. That roll of coil metal was turned up on his end where it was springy like that right there. That man come through that roof and hit that roll of coil metal, bounced off of it, and landed straight on his feet, Brother Simpson. Yes, sir. Hey, wait, I was looking. I'm telling the truth. I was looking. I crawled over the edge. "Jamie, where you at?" I couldn't find him. I looked back, coming up the ladder. He's just crazy, the kind of guy he was. Coming up the ladder. He was doing this right here, coming up the ladder. Like right there, air boxing. Sure was. Hey, but it wasn't funny to me then. It shook me up, Jamie. I had hundreds of thousands of dollars on the line on that. Right after that, another man fell.
through the roof. He got, and I'm just telling you the truth, y'all. So I'm just being honest with you. He fell on during the in the electrical system that come up through the roof. Ain't but one spot in the whole roof it does that now. You said, hey, listen, Brother Blue said, this is it. You say, I don't believe that. This ain't for non-believers, amen. That's what Brother Blue would say. He fell through those pipes and they were interwoven. And there's a bunch of them, just probably 50 of them. And he's swinging, boom, 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 boom. And gets to the bottom. Didn't hurt him a lick. But cut him up a little bit. But I was scared to death. I went home at night. I'm just being honest with you. I shook up. I was nervous. I went home. But since I got in my bathroom, and I'll be honest with you, I was just broken. I said, preacher, I called preachers. All I knew what to do. I said, preacher, what in the world do we do? I said, do we have two people fall? We've got a week left of this. I said, you just do math right there. It's 10 up and going to fall through. I said, what do we do? He said, you go up there in the morning. Hey, thank God for a man of God in my life. Thank God for the touch of God working in my heart, in my life, and just watching after us. I said, preacher, what do we do? He said, you go up there in the morning. He said, you get your guys. He said, you get back up on that roof. He said, God's going to watch after y'all. He said, God's going to help you. God's hand's going to be on that job. And he said, won't nobody else fall through that roof all week long. He said, y'all get paid. Preacher, what happened? We went back up there, Brother Simpson. Not a man fell through. The job went easy. And we got paid on Friday. And everything went just like he said it was going to go. What did he say? Hey, we need the touch of God on our lives, y'all. We need it on our families. We need it on our jobs. We need it in our relationships. We need it in our churches. We need it in our preaching. Amen. Hey, listen. I'd rather hear what Brother Hudson say. He said, I'd rather hear a weed eater run on half-mixed gas as a preacher that ain't got the touch of God on him. Are you listening? I just unpacked my bags and go to the house. Amen. Hey, listen to something else on the way home. Hey, if folks is going to get help, amen. Preacher, what are you saying? You're going to have God's touch, amen. We're going to have His touch. I thought about this earlier. The pressure that's on, hey, listen to the young ladies these days. I don't even believe in a man going to, hey, listen, I'll be leaving here in just a minute, amen. I'll take you preaching out and you won't have to worry about it no more. Hey, I don't even really believe in a man much going to college, amen. Why is that? Hey, listen, they won't never come back the same. You better be careful sending your boy to college. Are you listening? Hey, if they've got the touch going in, hey, it'll be very rare if they come out with it on them when they come out. Are you listening? Hey, as a man told me the other day, who in the world was I talking to a guy? I'm talking to a man out in the world. He said, oh, yeah, he said, I sent my daughter to college. He said, she called me 2 weeks later, said, Daddy, said they tried to turn me into liking women. And she was a woman. Said they tried, they made fun of me because of the way we live. They don't even live like we do. She came home. Are you listening? You better be careful sending your children to college. Won't even charge you for that. Amen. Hey, the pressure that's on our young ladies, though, hey, to get a career. They say, well, if you're going to be somebody, then you've got to go to college. You've got to have something to fall back on. You've got to get some kind of career. Hey, that's confusing to me, amen. Hey, I thought the Bible said, I would that women be sober, amen. Hey, and be keepers at home, amen. Hey, are we teaching them to be keepers at home? Or are we teaching them to be a career woman? The book's still right, amen. Hey, it's still in the book, amen, that a wife be a keeper at home, amen. Hey, you said, preacher, where's your wife at this afternoon? Hey, she's at home. Hey, if I could, if she was here, hey, listen, if I had a water in a bowl, I'd go up to her and wash her feet. Hey, and tell her one more time how much I appreciate her, amen. Hey, you can't put a price tag on a woman, amen, hey, that'll stay at home, school your children, be content, amen. Hallelujah, amen. And have the touch of God on her life. Are you listening? Hey, my wife this afternoon, I hope you feel this way about yours. My wife would have to step down this afternoon to take the office of the President of the United States of America. Are you listening? Listen. Taking care of my children. Well, the world don't have to be poured into my children. Hey, watching after them. Watching after our home, amen. Hey, being good to me. Hey, listen, I told them the other day at our church, hey, sometimes you may come in, and it's really not this way at the house, but it might be, amen. You come in, food's on the table sometimes, it's on the walls sometimes, amen. Hey, listen, you cannot put a price on a lady, amen. It'll stay home and take care of your children, amen. Hey, listen, and do it for the glory of God, with a touch of God, amen. Hey, they say you can't make it on one income. Hogwash, friends, too late to tell me. Amen. I've seen God do it too many times, amen. Are you listening to me? You need God's touch, amen. Mama, you need God.
You can do what's fine.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying I can't imagine. I can't imagine just how horrible it feels like. It's a problem. I've just been awkward. It'd be dialogue,
Dad, for my
back, amen. But if we come, it's not. It's God. God. Hey, what are you talking about?
Sorry. What? God, your child has offered.
His spoon, what Brother Lou say? His spoon, a lot bigger than I'm showing. God's able to do. He just said.
Yes, it's very far.
Parents' grace, good house of God. Tired of such a God in the Bible. Hey, when it comes time to make your own decision, please don't play the same with the dog in his life. Right, you can realize it's all touch. I've heard people say this. I heard people say something about this the other day. About our church. They said, well, no, they say it's weird. It's outdated. We believe in our young people courting and not dating. That's not weird. We just want to touch God in our life, amen. Hey, we've invested too much, amen. Our pastors and our parents, amen. They have poured into them for years and years. Hey, just to watch the touch of God go off their life like that. No way, friend. Hey, we still believe in part. Preacher, what's there? Oh, dude. Dating, it's worldly, it's sexual, it's flesh. It's good to know that you can get more fleshly than a physical level. That's not my Bible. The Bible says, preach it culture all the time, it's not good for a man to touch that. It's not good. Hey, quickly be important. Why is that? You need to get to know that individual spiritually, amen. You need to get to know how they love their church. You need to get to know how they're involved in their church. You need to get to know how they love their pastor, amen. How they submitted to their parents. I told somebody the other day, he said it's odd. Preacher, I'm telling you, it is. If you've not been in our realm, if you've not been in a church like hers, he said it's hard. He said you can have somebody that likes this one and this one. He said they'll court for a while, they'll break up. It's just still friends. He said come in, they're still all set together, they're friends. Why is that? Because they've got given their heart to him, amen. Hey, because they've not got to know them on a physical level. Listen, hey, when you do that, it brings confusion. It brings obviously fornication, and it will take God's touch off your life, amen. That's why these churches, you see the churches in town, hey, they're all about, it's nothing but sensual. From the music all the way up, obviously they have no touch. Hey, listen, because they've done nothing but date, intermingle the whole time. There's no touch on it, amen. And what they've got on their hands is a mess, amen. They've got a mess on their hands. No touch. We still believe that, amen. I told somebody the day, by the grace of God, I hope I can stay with it, but I don't want my young girl or Noah. I don't. Hey, listen. Maybe I'm going to do it wrong. I sure hope not. I don't want them to have a phone, and I don't want them to court till they're 18 years old. I don't want to see the touch of God do it. Why? Are you listening? I told my first come to Concord, Brother Simpson. I told me and Miss Amy was talking. I came from home school. Didn't know nothing about this wave. I was ignorant to this wave. But we were sitting there talking one day, and I said, well, just what everybody else says. I said, Miss Amy, I said, you can't keep your children from everything. She put her finger above that post of my nose. She said, why can't you? Begin to think about that. He said, put your wife said, she said, I'll have my children. Hopefully, she said, at the age of 18 years old, I'll have them ready to face things at the public school, so I told them at 11, 12, 13 year olds. And listen, hey, your children's not ready for you. Hey, there's things.
And there's Brother James and Saint. And I'll stand here today. That I never been exposed to this day. Had it not been. I would never been exposed to this day. Had it not been. Get saved. Hey, you know how odd and how kooky that sounds like that? Hey, you get them saved, then you go throw them out in public school, let them indoctrinate them, let them tell them everything, and everything that mom and daddy said's right, wrong, amen? Hey, let's pour that junk into them. Hey, before you know it, you wonder why they're all slayers out, yeah, and they look like they're spiritually gone. They are dead. Hey, the tides have been taken off their minds, amen? I got a friend. I tell him, preacher, I should. He's not saved. He tells me this story. He said, he's not saved at all. He's a very conservative guy. He said, I wonder what he thinks. He said, he got somebody preaching from the 1800s. He said, well, here's how it's going to be. When your great-great-grandchildren come along, they're going to send this little yellow, it's an old horse buggy, by your house. They're going to pick your children up, take them from you for most of their life, from the ages of 5 to 18. And then they're going to tell them everything contrary to what you've tried to teach at home. They're going to try to tell them that we come from munchies. And they're going to try to tell them that God's not real. And then they're going to bring them home. They're going to probably smart mouth you until they go to bed. You know how crazy that sounds? Hey, get on the road though. Watch how many of them are going down the road on Monday morning. The devil knows what he's doing, amen. The devil knows it's your young people. That's the life of our churches. You know, ministers to our church in song most of the time on Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night, it's our young people. And you know what the devil knows? He knows if he can get in your children's heart, he can get into your home, he can get into your church, he can take the touch of God off this next generation. He can take the touch of God off their singing, and they can't minister to your church, and they can't minister to your families. He knows that he'll take the life out of that church, amen. He knew if he could just get that hair off of Samson's head, he knew if he could just get it shaven, that he would take the power off, amen, and he would be of no use anymore, amen. That's what the devil wants to do to you, amen. Hey, let me say this. His heart, I'm finished. The Bible says that he told her all of his heart. Hey, you better stop sharing your heart with this world, amen. You're going to lose your touch. Hey, I thought about this the other day. Well, just a little bit of money. You can have everything this world has. Are you listening? You can have everything they have to offer by nightfall, in the next 3 hours. If you've got money, Brother Simpson, it's all at your disposal. You can have everything that they possess. Whether it be cars or this and that, and the finest things of life, you can have every bit of it with money. But you know what what they can't have? What we got going on in this church this afternoon, what you've got going on in your home church on Sunday morning, what you've got going on in your home with your children, your husband, still being faithful to one another and homeschooling your children and going to the house of God and bringing them to the house of God and being ministered to week in and week out, being in Sunday school, hey, it's not for sale, amen. You can't buy a touch from God. Are you listening? Hey, it's not for sale, friend. You can have everything they have if you just got the money. Touch of God, not for sale. Are you listening? That's why the devil wants so bad. He's tearing at your home. He's tearing at your family. He's tearing at your children. Because he knows how effective it is when your family gets touched. Mama, he knows how effective you are in schooling and praying for those children when you've got the touch of God on your life. He knows how effective you are in loving your husband and encouraging your husband when you've got the touch of God on your life. Hey, a home, there's no price I wouldn't take. $1 trillion. If they said this afternoon, if you'll take his money, you can have God's stand off and his touch off your family. No way. Oh, baby. We need his hand and we need his touch, amen. Samson thought he could play with the world and not get hurt. Here's what he said. It's strange what he said. He got so lifted up with pride, and he got so complacent, he got so close to the world. Here's what Samson said. She said, they're fixing to come in here. He said, it's okay. He said, I'll just get up and shake myself as I have at other times. Hey, you better quit messing with some of this stuff the world's got out here today. There's going to be some things you're not going to be able to shake off. There's going to be some things that's going to get a hold of your heart, going to get a hold of your mind, She's not going to be able to shake off. One look. Gonna take a shot off your life. I was encouraged this past week, Saturday. We had some young men, and I understand I'm young to most. I'm 34 years old. We had some guys, teenage boys, teenage young men, preaching at our church, had to touch on them. It was good to see some young men coming along, had to touch God. But you better believe this. The devil wants that touch off you. The world wants that touch off you. They know as long as you've got the touch, then you can help folks, and you can be a blessing to your church. Amen. They'll wear you out. The Bible says it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words, urged him so that he was vexed unto death. Amen. Your relationships need his touch. Your jobs need his touch. Your singing needs his touch. Amen. We need his touch in our homes, our families, and our children. What a tragedy it would be. Go back home. Go back to church on Sunday morning. Go in there to worship. Preacher, I don't want to try to worship without his touch. I think about the many times, probably wouldn't be here this morning had I not been a member of a church that still got God's touch on me. I probably wouldn't be here this afternoon if I'd be honest. The times have come in, like I said, colder than I'd like to admit. But get in the service and the preacher from the touch of God began to deal with my heart. Pull up in my driveway, say, big boy, you need to get that right. And deal with issues. Keep me out of things that I didn't even know was coming. Are you listening? Man, hey, it'd be a tragedy to wake up with his touch gone. Preacher, I'm done.